Thank you for joining us today on Protect the Nest, a podcast for individuals who have a passion for child safety and believe technology plays a strong role in helping churches and other child-focused organizations care for children. Today, we're featuring part two of the podcast on tips and tricks for increasing holiday safety in children's ministry with guests Heidi and Jason Hensley.
Heidi, let's move over to you a little bit because I have a lot of questions for you and I just want to hear your thoughts on a couple of things. But one thing that I was hoping to chat with you a little bit about is how do you deal with the background check of an individual who perhaps you're not very familiar with, or someone who comes in as, you know, part of a new family who says, you know, I want to volunteer for children's ministry during the holiday season. How can I help? How do you deal with background checks and new people coming in and the short season of the holiday?
Well, we have different levels of volunteers, and the reason I think the holidays are a little bit easier for us is because we follow these standards throughout the year. So where some churches might have an influx of volunteers, we might still have an influx of volunteers, but our process stays the same. So in our children's ministry, there's a few different levels of volunteers we have, especially downstairs in the babies and preschool area. We do have a few paid workers, and those paid workers hold a different kind of training than anybody else. They're certified to use an AED. They're certified in CPR. They're fully background checked, and they've had references and ministry service time. Those are the people that we plant at least one of them in every room. The next step is the background checked worker, who is kind of the aid worker. They're assisting. They're doing things like that. They're still background checked and can be in that room with that other adult. Those are our core workers. And then for that family who comes in and says, you know, I would like to stay with my child, they wear a name tag that is green, and it says, I think it says parent visitor or something like that. But they're identifiable by their lanyard that they have not been background checked, and they're only in there for a Sunday. And that green lanyard, while it for them displays, you know, hey, I'm a visitor today, for us it displays this person is not to be left in the room with children, this person is not to take children to the restroom. You know, there's certain standards that lanyard gives us. And when we need a little bit of extra help in the Christmas season, typically we have a list of people who are backgrounded, and, you know, that's our go-to backup list. But if we do need a parent to stay, we have a way to identify them as a person who is not to be in charge or left alone with kids, but they can still be there to maybe, you know, help kids glue something or help kids sit still during the story while they're with other workers who are.
Those are great suggestions in and of themselves. I mean, just having those coming in as visitors, a single day visitor, identified through the color of the lanyard. I mean, those are some great things. And you know what? Those aren't expensive. Those don't require technology to implement. Those are simple things that someone can do just by identifying, you know, a visiting parent.
Yeah, and as far as the background checks go, we were using some different programs for a while where you would have to get the paper copy, go back, you know, fill it out. I now use Protect My Ministry, and the part I love about Protect My Ministry is if somebody has a clear background, which 90% of the time they do, I've had very few that have come back where I've had an issue with it. Usually if they're willing to let you run it, it's typically going to be okay. The beauty of that is I've had somebody walk up and say, oh, forgot to do my background check. I'm supposed to be the main person in a room today, and I can walk them around the backside of my check-in station, have them complete it online, hit submit, and within 3 or 4 minutes, I have their background file. And I have actually done that on a Sunday morning because they couldn't fill it out online or didn't get to it, and then been able to put them in the room as a cleared worker. So it just, the tool makes it so nice.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, and just to have that additional level of security in terms of their background coming in is just, it's so valuable. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Protect My Ministry, they're a good partner of ours, and they do offer a really solid product. So thank you for mentioning them. So, Heidi, you have so much in the plan for your children's ministry for security. You know, it seems like you have all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted. Is there one thing that keeps you up at night with regards to security for children's ministry during the holidays?
Yeah, you know, I think during the holidays, you hear about, you know, this is the time of year that people who have broken families, they respond, and sometimes, unfortunately, they respond negatively. Things like divorced parents or custody battles, those are things that probably would keep me up at night the most, mostly because I dealt with it once. We had a situation right when I came on staff, before any of this was in place, and there had been a recent split. Father did not have custody. In fact, he had a restraining order against him. But because we did not know any of this, he walked up to kids' church, picked up his daughter who went to daddy and identified that it was daddy, and we released her. And 3 hours later, I was at the church with the police department looking for this child who we later found the next day.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's a horrifying situation.
Yes.
Wow. And knowing, you know, at the same time, I can identify that technically it was not our fault because we did not know there was a situation, but there's still a level of responsibility that you feel as a leader, and knowing that I had basically given this child to a man who was not supposed to have her. This man walked up, it was me who released her, and I identified who he was, I knew who he was, but I did not know there were any issues there. So one of the things we love about KidCheck is the fact that we can put alerts on the children's check-in, check-out, on their rosters, and on their tags. So we use that, and then we have a level of, you know, communication that we expect with parents. It's very much so included in all of our publicity that if there are any custody issues, that we need to be made aware of them as soon as anybody knows. And it's for that reason that we do it. But there's still a level of unpredictable people out there. And yeah. I think those are the ones that scare me.
Yeah, well, rightfully so. But I'm so glad that you have so much in place, you know, just to help with the level of security that you need to provide. Mm-hmm. That brings me to my next question about training. So for your children's ministry team, tell our listeners a little bit about your approach to training and what you've done to increase their knowledge about all the things that you've mentioned, because I'm sure you're not the only one that holds this knowledge. I'm sure you share this with your staff, with your volunteers. How do you do that? I mean, share with our listeners a little bit about your approach to training and, you know, what exactly you do to train people for these types of situations.
Right. Well, when I came on roughly nine and a half years ago, we had a yearly training, and it was kind of a dual training and volunteer appreciation. And that's a beautiful setup if you have the same volunteers for the entire year and you never have anybody new join in the process. And what I was finding was people who had joined in December, when they had spent 6 months in the ministry, it was at that point that they were getting their first training after have serving for 6 months, because they simply joined late after that training date. And so I figured that there had, you know, we were breaking our own policies, we were breaking bathroom rules, you know, all these kinds of things because they just didn't know any better. And so I finally began to sit back and really observe, you know, the influx of volunteers when that happens. So now we have two larger ones a year. One is during the revive time, so it's around that September fall kickoff time. And then the other one happens for what we call Summer Sunday Blast. So we have seasonal training based on the curriculum change. And we go over the policies and the safety and everything there because that's just a natural entry point for volunteers. And then the other thing that I've done that honestly has been probably the best addition is called a standing meeting. And it's once a month I give my staff one policy to cover with their volunteer staff. So I have an infants, a preschool, and an elementary coordinator. And I give them a sheet of paper that on the left is a little note from me. On the right is bullet points of maybe the check-in, check-out procedure policy. And they have a 10-minute meeting, and it's called a standing meeting because they're not allowed to sit down. So that way it's brief.
She makes me go to that meeting.
He does have to go to that meeting.
Well, you're a stand-up kind of guy, Jason. Of course you'd be there.
Kind of guy. And so we have standing meetings. And, you know, we have volunteers that have been serving longer than I've been alive. and they forget. They forget what the bathroom policy is. And so it's just a refresher. It's not anything new. There's no new information in it. It is simply a refresher, and they ask a couple questions, and then they're gone, and they're, you know, off with their day. But over the course of the year, they get reminded of every policy we have, and it's always fresh in their mind.
I love that. I think that's great. Everything from the standing sort of format to how you disseminate the information all year long and refresh people who, like you said, have served longer than you've been alive. That's amazing. That's hilarious.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I think anytime that you identify, children's ministry already has a little bit of a bad name in the sense of volunteering. You know, there's that misnomer that if I sign up for children's ministry, I'm there for my entire lifetime. And so anything that you can do in children's ministry to show your volunteers that you value their time and you value their personal time, I think you automatically create a winning situation. And I read somewhere that anytime you sit down in a meeting, you've automatically doubled the time that is necessary. And that was where the standing meeting came from, was that little tidbit that I had seen somewhere in a magazine, I think on an airplane.
Well, it's great. I think you can get so much more done in a standing meeting because it's brief and people, their attention span lasts that long. I mean, you know that when you sit down in a meeting, you're going to be there for a while.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, where's my phone? How can I keep myself occupied through this? Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really great information. Now, you mentioned earlier about your check-in, check-out process.
Yeah.
So does that also remain consistent throughout the year, regardless of the level of visitors that you have through the holiday season and such, or does it change at all for when you have more visitors during the holiday season?
Yeah, it yes and no in both. The process stays the same. Every child comes in, they check in, they get a name tag, parents get a parent badge, and they're on their way to classroom. So that part stays the same. The part that changes, especially around Easter, around Christmas, anytime we have a great influx of visitors, we'll dedicate two of the computers for regular check-in, and one will be specific for visitors, simply because we do use KidCheck. And, you know, when you have a visitor, you want to take time to explain what the process is, what their children will be experiencing, what the classroom they're going to, and then the process to drop off and pick up, and then remind them to keep that tag. And then, of course, while you're doing this, you're creating their account. So we have one specific computer that is manned and dedicated for visitors, and then the rest is just our regular process.
Well, and it's nice to have someone available to sort of walk somebody through the process, especially if they're new and they're like, you know, what's going on? Why are you asking me to fill out all this information? So that's great that you actually lead them through the process of check-in and check-out, because I think sometimes that's where churches may stumble a little bit, is on the check-out side. So it's great to have people with knowledge before they drop their children off about what's going to happen, what's going to go on. One thing I wanted to ask you, you know, you've mentioned KidCheck. You guys have been, you know, a customer of ours for quite some time, and we always love hearing about what you're doing. And recently, I think you've added some mobile sort of connectivity to your check-in process. Is that true?
We did. We initially added the tablets to every classroom for check-in, and what we were finding was the teachers were really becoming consumed. So that's a staffing issue on our part. So what we've done is we've actually changed it. We have a central check-in location, but the iPads in each room now serve as the live roster. So a teacher in the room, instead of having to check them in on the iPad, can look down and say, oh, Michael has been checked in, but he's not here yet. And so when the child arrives to the room, they can tick the box that says, okay, now Michael has arrived. And so it just puts that extra step in there. We know when Michael checked in, we know when Michael actually arrived in the classroom, and we know when he left the classroom.
It gives the teacher the ability to communicate.
Yeah, it gives the teacher the ability to send an SMS message, you know, a text message, or even to notify us as well. So that part has been really good.
Well, I love how you've sort of taken technology and played with it, implemented it where you thought it needed to be, and then sort of changed it. I think that's awesome because sometimes I think with technology, people feel like it has to serve one purpose instead of bringing it in and then seeing how does it fit into our environment? How can we better arm the teachers with what they need without consuming all of their time? Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I knew that you were on the cutting edge in terms of using technology in your children's ministry, and I didn't want to take up too much of your time with that, but I thought that was a really interesting thing, and so I really wanted to be able to share that with our listeners, that, you know, you're continuing to sort of grow your security plan and objectives through the years and using technology as a point in that, which I think is great. I want to be respectful of your time, and we're going to be wrapping up here. But before we go, I wanted to ask both of you if there were any additional resources, whether it's books or websites or guides or one-pagers or, you know, people on Twitter or whomever it might be, that you can share with our listeners for, you know, just for getting tips on increasing security with children's ministry. If, you know, they don't have access to a Jason and a Heidi, where can they go? You know, what are some things that they can use?
Well, the first thing that I would honestly encourage every children's ministry leader to use, and it's something we all possess, is their gut instinct. I'm a strong believer that when you're placed in a position of authority with children, you have a natural instinct, and you know, it's kind of like that mom instinct. You can just sense something when it's not right. And there has been more than one time that, you know, I've listened to that, and it's proved to be very good. So whether or not you have a full check-in system, you know, for that person to not only enable themselves to listen to that gut instinct, but to really even have their leadership identify, you know, something just doesn't feel right, and then the security team buying into that, that's a big deal. There's been one or two times that I've gone to our security personnel and said, you know, this person's on campus. I know we don't have a background check, but something is off. You know, that from a distance, they watch and they maintain a safe situation. So using their gut instinct, using their parent tag, whether that's a, you know, if you're in a small church of 30, you should still be giving your parents something to claim their children because you just don't know. So however you do a parent tag or parent system for pickup, that needs to be implemented. And then the last thing is, you know, Twitter is awesome if you search kids ministry, but also CM Connect. CM Connect is something that is kind of like a Facebook or a Twitter, but it's specific for children's ministry people. And you can go on and you can find just huge conversation forums about church safety and the ability to bounce ideas off of people and really just find what works and what people have tried that didn't work. And the best part is it's free. So, you know, you network, you create this great community, but it's also free and it's a great tool for anybody. I know Jason has a contact that he's recently found that we're using as well.
Yeah, it's a guy that I met. He kind of has a similar background that I have, probably even much more extensive. His name is Glenn Evans, but he runs a website called churchsecurityalliance.com. And he actually has gone in and established policies and procedures and really in-depth church safety plan, I guess you could say. And some of the stuff that I haven't never even thought of, he's already put down and stuff for you to consider. So if it's a church just starting off, he has the ability to help with, you know, just establishing a program or to improve it. And so anyways, his name is Glenn Evans from churchsecuritialliance.com. And we just met this last week, and he's provided me some of the information that they have on their site, and it is invaluable.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you for that. And, you know, these resources that are free, there's such an abundance of information out there. I think it's just connecting people with the information and figuring out, you know, how we can direct them to these resources that are just so valuable. So thank you so much, both of you, for sharing those resources. And thank you for your time today. You know, it's been an honor, and we feel so privileged to be able to tap into your wisdom and knowledge about these issues. We feel, as a company, they're so important in terms of keeping children secure. And so we really appreciate everything that you've shared today. Is there anything you guys want to finish up with or share with our listeners before you pop off? But
I would personally.
Please.
I have, you know, you mentioned my blog earlier.
Yes.
And it's HeidiMHensley.com. And the reason I refer back to that is because we've taught a couple times on church safety, and Jason mentioned that I'm doing that at CPC again. My presentation and notes are on my website, but also just for interaction. I'm always open to a conversation via messages or even Twitter. You know, I enjoy talking ministry. It is what I do. And so, you know, personal reference, if anybody needs anything as far as, you know, just a question answered, I would encourage them to use the website or use Twitter, and, you know, would be happy to chat.
That's great. Thank you, Heidi. I was hoping that you would make that available to our listeners, because I think sometimes it's great to have a person as a resource that, like we mentioned earlier, is truly on the front lines of children's ministry. Mm-hmm. That's just so helpful. And obviously, you have a lot of experience in this, and you have a great go-to guy that's like, you know, what a great resource for you to have. One question I do have, when you do presentations at these conferences, do they ever videotape them? Can we share any of those out with our listeners at any point in time, or are they just strictly audio, or they don't do any sort of recording at all?
You know, to my knowledge, they have only done audio. I only have one video presentation on file with Lifeway, and that was on a mentoring subject. So as far as the safety stuff, it's been audio thus far. But if that changes, I will certainly let you know.
It's something that we could consider down the road, though, also.
Absolutely.
When we do revive.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be great. That would be awesome. Yeah, especially if we could share those out with people who don't get to attend Revive or who possibly are at the completely other end of the country. So thank you both once again. It's just been a pleasure. And it looks like that's all the time we have today, KidCheck. We encourage you to visit KidCheck.com. It's got a lot of good information on Secure Children's Check-In, getting started with us, lots of product FAQs, and additional security tips and tricks. And once again, we have a blog and best practices and just much, much more. So we do encourage you to go out and visit us there. So thanks again for joining, and we look forward to hearing your comments and conversations about this podcast. So take care.